Hello, my magical friends. My name is Ayumi. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and you're listening to Sparkle Side Chats with Magical Girl Ayu. Whether it's your first or 64th time listening, we welcome you to our space to celebrate magical girls from every corner of the world. It's Creator Week, so let's jump right into today's topic. So, as you know, we always try to keep in mind that while the genre is mostly focused on girls, there are lots of shows that are following the same format that are focused on male characters. And today's creator and a lot of her inspirations are no different. Today we are looking at Moonlight Apparition, which is a webcomic available online for free from the Aradia Collective. Quite a few episodes ago, we talked to none of legendary beings, Ara and Selly, and she is the proprietor, I suppose, of the Aradia Collective, which is a collection of different Magical Girl series. And so because of the umbrella of Magical Girls, not all of them have Magical Girls per se in them as protagonists, but that's okay. And yeah, today we are looking at one of those stories. We have talked to a few other Aradia Collective creators on the podcast before, and we'll be sure to visit more of them in the future. So Moonlight Apparition, I thought was very interesting because we look at a lot of different inspirations that are things that you might actually think about in a magical girl context, but maybe not at first glance. So that's always fun. And Jenica was very lovely to talk to. And I thought it was very interesting to look at something that I really appreciate, which is a very different setting in terms of not being in a big city, being in a place local to the creator, so she's familiar with it. And yeah, I just think that this story is very interesting. And if you are in the age range to read it, then please check it out. This series is definitely one that, as we mentioned on the podcast, should not be read by kids just because it can be a little grotesque and a little terrifying in nature at times. The main character is an amnesiac, which means we do talk about things like memory loss. And in that, just due to the nature of that being a plot point, there is some manner of gaslighting. So keep that in mind in terms of the reading of the comic, if you will. It's really not that much. It's not to a point where I would think that it's generally a problem, but because that is something that comes up a lot with that trope, I just wanted to mention it just in case. I'm actually in the middle of a science fiction book at the moment that has that kind of theme, and it can be very upsetting. So yeah, but luckily this comic, it's not as bad. But at the same time, because of its dark elements, I would steer clear if you are younger. But luckily the next episode, we do talk about something that is for kids, so you can keep that in mind. But yeah, there isn't much else to say about this. It is a beautiful series, partially in color, partially in black and white. Yeah, I thought it was a really lovely chat, and we look at some really interesting aspects of the series. So please check it out if you can. There's already a lot to read and a lot more to come. So this episode does not have any spoiler warnings. So feel free to read the comic either before or after you listen to the episode. I think that it would be more interesting if you check it out before listening, but it's up to you. Please enjoy this chat with Jenica about her comic Moonlight Apparition. Today we are here to talk with the creator of Moonlight Apparition, part of the Aradia Collective, and I'm very excited. Can you please introduce yourself?
My name's Jenica. I go by she, her, and yeah, Don't know what else to really put in here.
That's okay. Yes, we're talking about your story, Moonlight Apparition, which people can read online. But before we get into your story, what is your history with magical girls as a genre?
So when I was really little, like in kindergarten, about 5 or 6, my first introduction to anything magical girls was Sailor Moon. I feel like that's a lot of people's, especially in North America. It was on cable because satellite and internet streaming didn't really exist in the 1990s, early 1990s.
Sure.
Yeah. So I remember watching it when we had the channel, then the channel disappeared because I guess we didn't have that package, so we didn't have it anymore. But when I was little, I watched it. And I do remember for Halloween, I was actually Sailor Moon. My mom had made me an outfit of Sailor Moon to be. So the only time I ever cosplayed was when I was like 6 years old at school.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I love the idea of having magical powers, but still being like in modern day era as a kid. Because I used to play games with my neighbors where we all had like superpowers and stuff like that, and jumped on the trampoline and all that stuff. It was really fun. But anything else is like, I didn't really watch a lot of like anime until later on in my life and got introduced to shows like Cardcaptor Sakura. I didn't really watch any of the Precure stuff. I did have a friend that was into Tokyo Mew Mew, but not so much. Like, I watched Shugo Kara. I liked that one. That one was pretty interesting for the idea of like the little characters that are your like selves that you want to be. But yeah, pretty much my experience, like I live in Southern Oregon in a small little town, so like anime and things weren't really like well known. It's very, if you liked anime, you were an odd kid out. And I also didn't realize it was anime. I knew it was different, but didn't realize it was anime because it just was a cartoon, like all the other cartoons. So,
Sure.
yeah, it's pretty much like my experience is very limited. Probably what had more of an impact as like a magical character genre thing was probably Danny Phantom, to be honest,
Oh.
which isn't anime, but he does have a transformation sequence and he does have white hair, and I am a sucker for white hair protagonists, so.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Great. So, for anyone who has not read your story yet, what basically is it about?
So, I guess like the sort of elevator pitch for it would be it's about Jason, an amnesiac who discovers he has magical powers when he and his friends accidentally unseal a monster. The core of the story is mostly about the relationships that Jason and his friends have with each other and people in their lives. So, like, the parent relationships and things like that. So for the most part, it's just a bunch of teenagers trying to figure themselves out, but with magical shenanigans as well, like most magical girl genres seem to be about.
Sure, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's definitely mostly based on the interpersonal relationships between these characters. But yeah, having this main character be an amnesiac and that being kind of a major part of the connection with his magic powers and also with his own legacy, it gets very complicated and it's really interesting and very mysterious, which is a lot of fun because every time you think a question is answered, it just brings more questions.
Oh, for sure.
And like you mentioned, like Danny Phantom, he does get white hair. The comic is partially in color, but also partially in black and white. Is there any particular reason for why you switch between that?
Couple things. So black and white with tones, it's a lot faster of a process. So when I first started it, it was just to be faster, also to kind of mimic a lot of the manga that I had read at the time. When we go into influences, like I have a lot of influences of people who inspire me, but I like color and I had realized I hadn't been coloring as much. And so I wanted to do color because it would help with, there were certain things that I thought would be easier to show in color, but I also was hoping that by doing color, it would gain more interest from other people. I don't think it really changed anybody's like interest rates. Like, I don't think people got more invested in wanting to read it because there was color. I think they just enjoyed the story as is. And so, because color was taking too long, I switched back to black and white because I kind of actually miss doing black and white. Like, I like both mediums, but I was trying out the different ones, so just to see if I could do manage one over the other. So.
That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it kind of was reminding me like it's not really as easy to see if you're buying like volumes of Japanese comics, but when they're printed in the magazines, it's often the case that for maybe like a special chapter or something, the first few pages might be in full color and then the rest of it is back to its usual screen tones. But yeah, I was trying to figure out like if there was a rhyme or reason to it, I guess, or like a particular reason why like this chunk of pages was in color, but that does make a lot of sense now that you put it that way. But yeah, so how did you get started with creating Moonlight Apparition?
So the story of it is pretty interesting. I had started a different comic and it was based off of my high school friends. And anytime you try to base anything off of real life in real time, it never goes well because it's not planned out. And life happens way faster than anyone could draw, so it was not working out and I was really down on myself. And a friend of mine had told me, "You need to drop that project because it's impossible, and you need to start working on something that's more thought out or a one shot." So I was like, "Well, I have some characters I can recycle. That'd be fine." And so I just kind of pulled a couple characters out, and I kind of just started to craft a story to draw real quick. Problem is that I'm a bit of, I think the term is like a pantser writer, where like you just kind of go with it without really a direction. And so I just kind of started drawing and writing without really planning anything out. Just had loose ideas and was like, "Ah, we'll just wing it." And so I started just to create these characters. I did sketch up like a bunch of pages, and then I got to a point, thought I should probably think about this more. But I liked the idea enough that I was like, I kind of want to work on this more because I really like the character so far. Even though at the time Jason was a much more unlikable person, he was a vastly different character. He was a little brat. He had no friends. I had to make him friends.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Early Moonlight Apparition was a very different comic, but I kind of kept at it because I really wanted to make it work. And I've always had problems with, like, I would start projects, but I'd always have trouble finishing them or seeing them through. And this is one of those projects that I thought, I really want to, like, see this one through. I just have a habit of making them very long, so we'll see how long it takes me to get through it. But I really want to finish it. So.
Yeah, you've already put out quite a lot because it's about, I mean, we're in chapter 9. Is
Yes.
chapter 9 finished or no? I don't.
No, it'll be finished before the year's out, though.
Okay. Yeah, we're 9 chapters in and you started this in 2020, right? Or at least it's posting on the website itself.
On the website 2020, yes. But it's been ongoing for about 10 years now because I started on Smackjeeves, which rest in peace, Smackjeeves. We miss you. So it started on Smackjeeves. It's had many overhauls because I have learned from my mistakes and I started scripting it. It's funny, I had to redo the first few chapters because it's about chapter 3 where I actually sat down and was like, I need to write out what the characters are going to do and how the story is going to unfold, at least the dialogue. And so I started to script it and plan it a little bit, and that's where it like really picked up and people were able to be more engaged with it. So that's why I went back and fixed the first two chapters up until that point, just so the flow was there.
That makes sense. Yeah. So, yeah, it is very interesting. There's quite a cast of characters. So, are any of the friends, for example, based on those characters from your old high school comic?
No.
Okay.
Not really. But the thing is, I did use people that I used to know in real life to help inspire the different personalities because, like, I definitely don't have the same personality as any of my characters that I think of. Maybe some crossovers here and there. But, like, for example, for Toby, a lot of his insecurities and his like more emotional state and things like that, I've based off of like my sister because she's a very emotional person and the way that she kind of handles and reacts to problems and drama and things like that, because I wanted different personalities. Robbie, his tendencies kind of are more based off of like a kid that used to live across the street from me when I lived in a different town. His name was Robbie. I, you know, might have borrowed the name, but his personality is not 100% like his. But, you know, I wanted to pull from places that I'd known, kind of seen things that I've experienced to kind of bring a little bit more life into these characters, a little bit more realness to them. Because, like, I mean, I'm just one person, so I was trying to make my characters feel more diverse in that aspect. Hopefully.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There are a lot of extra characters, right? Like classmates and friends that we have seen so far, and also Jason's family and so on. There's lots of characters, and it's like the whole world, because there's like, you know, the I guess the normal world and also this kind of magic world that we're looking at. There's a lot of interesting things going on. And yeah, the characters so far, there are a lot. And it's really great to have like such a full cast, even if we don't see everyone all the time. It just kind of feels really real. Like Jason's just trying to go through like his regular life, and suddenly he has to deal with this new task of becoming a moonlight apparition, which yeah, the apparition idea is very interesting, because you have basically, from what I can understand, there's like two kinds of magic users that we've seen so far. They're the apparitions, and then they're the hunters. There's also like a quite a variety in terms of having these like generational divides, because Jason's main teacher is his uncle who's visiting. There's a lot that's like very curious. Now I can't stop seeing Danny Phantom when I see Jason's magical wood form,
That's,
but it was
you're
very
not the
funny.
only person, I promise.
I loved Danny Phantom when that was airing, and there were certainly a lot of fans of that show that would do like different styles for him and stuff. So it like
Oh
that's all I can see
yeah.
now, but but he is definitely his own character though.
Right. On my YouTube channel, which is pretty barren, for my senior project for school, I had to, because I went to a high school where you had to do a senior project to graduate. I did an animation. I was the only kid whose out-of-school mentor was AWOL, or I don't know, he was not present at all. But I did an animation, and I just decided I'll do the Danny Phantom opening, but in anime style. So I'm the girl that did the anime Danny Phantom opening, and I once in a while go on and respond to everyone's pleas for doing everything else. Oh, do Kim Possible. I'm like, Kim Possible already looks like anime. It's fine. But yeah, so I did that, and then I was like, well, it's such a waste to have this beautiful character design that Viacom won't do anything ever with, so I might as well just turn it into my own character.
Ah.
Because they don't own that design, so, you know.
That makes sense.
It's like the fanfic idea where you take the fanfic, change the names, and you got yourself a story.
That's a success route for many creators, so that totally checks out, yeah.
Yeah, it works.
Right, yeah. But yeah, so the story itself is it's very interesting so far, and it's also set in the Pacific Northwest, which I was able to pick up on because I have been there. I've never lived there, but I have family up there. And you know, like there's a lot of stuff like around a forest, because I guess, you know, Jason lives near a forest, and like I have like these images of things in my own mind that like it feels very like real, because it's like based in reality, I guess, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 'cause where I live now, it's way more countryside rural than where I used to live. But like for passing time and stuff like that, a friend and I, we would just go travel like Bureau of Land Management roads or Forest Service roads up into the mountains, 'cause you can. Like they exist up there, and it's pretty good. And you get like really great grand views of like the forest and stuff like that. So Gravity Falls was set in Oregon, and I really appreciated that they really captured the atmosphere of how Oregon feels. It's hilarious to me because they were kind of basing the Mystery Shack off of like the Oregon Vortex, which I've been there, And the area for that is way more oak trees and madrone trees than like any like sort of Douglas fir trees. So it kind of cracks me up because I'm like, oh, they didn't have a lot of those trees, but they tried. But the area that I live in is very foresty. So I like when I go on walks and stuff, I'm always just walk like I'll be like in a kind of like a country road, and then it's suddenly a Forest Service road. And so then it's just trees everywhere in forest. And sometimes I see elk walking by. So I do live in a very foresty area. So that's probably why I'm like, you know, everyone always has these things happening in the cities or in really well-known locations or really well-known places and states, but nothing really ever happens in Southern Oregon. Everything's always Portland or Eugene. So I'm like, I want something in Southern Oregon, and it's a fictional town. Technically, there is a Pine Grove, Oregon, but this one's a fictional town, kind of based more on like the city areas that I'm from, you know, kind of all smashed together.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I grew up in New York City, so I'm very used to New York, but I also know that like every other story is set in New York. So I have been trying to figure out like ways. I think it's a write what you know kind of thing. Like it's always going to be more authentic if you are writing about the area you're most familiar with. But yeah, it always feels like I'm contributing to the problem when I try to write a story and it's like, oh, I have to set it in New York again. That's like everything else. But yeah, it is definitely a nice change of pace, and it's, I mean, it looks great to see the forest all the time and stuff.
Well, I'm flattered. I do like drawing forests way more than I like drawing city scenes. So, buildings are hard.
Yeah, so what would you say are the other influences of Moonlight Apparition? Like we talked about Danny Phantom, but are there any other series that you would say are influential to the series?
Definitely. There are so many. So I know for sure, and you'll probably be able to see it with the hairstyles that I always choose, but definitely Dean Angel is one of the ones that has been a major influence. It's one of the first shows and manga that I've ever like purchased. I would love to be able to get the manga finished out because it's I would like to have the whole collection. But the artwork, the panel layouts, I just love the way that it flows and works and stuff like that. And it's kind of like almost like a magical transformation anime or show manga, kind of. You know,
I would
technically,
say, yeah. Mhm,
yeah, technically Daisuke turns into dark, so
Yeah, there's definitely that.
so that was such a huge influence to me because I absolutely adored the artwork in that one. Some other influences, probably more old school. I really liked D. Gray Man when it first started out too, story-wise, because it was just a little bit darker, more edgier. The characters didn't just have like Naruto's sense of like power and winning all the time. They got beaten a lot and barely scraped by, and any victory they got was like very well earned. Although I feel like everything's very hollow now. I haven't not really kept up with the story lately. The hiatuses, they were very long and I kind of fell off, so other inspirations. I guess the more recent ones have been Snow White with the Red Hair. That one, I just adore the character interactions so much. It's a fantasy one, but the way that the characters interact just feels very natural. They're not sacrificing anything, and there's no like huge power gaps or anything other than like you have Prince Zen, but he's the second prince. And so I really like the way that the story and the characters are structured in that one. Plus, all the background art is so detailed at times that when I was working on some of chapter 9 this time around, I had books of the manga stacked up on my desk to look at for references just to see how the artist was doing their designs for like fancy looking fantasy style design work and what shortcuts they use to make it look good without having to like, you know, kill their wrists to do it. And so I was kind of like gleaning from that as much as I could. And then I've been really enjoying Toilet Bound Hanako-kun because like I got the art book for the series, and I really like, I think it's Aida Iro is their pen name because it's like the artist and the writer together. I really love the way that they use color in their color illustrations. Like, it's just so like blotchy but painty but fun, but like really, really good. So I really like the way that they write the character interactions. It's a very good blend of like having good comedic moments but have like the serious moments where you kind of can't really figure out the characters. That one's been really nice for like trying to push my art boundaries a little bit. So that one's been kind of influencing the way I've been coloring lately. And then there's just so many others. Like, I love the black and white work in Blue Exorcist. So, like, I've just always been a fan of how that manga looks so clean, the way the line work works and stuff like that. There's not a lot of tone used in it. Like, if there is tone used, it's like very sparingly or for certain emotions and stuff or certain character hair traits. But for the most part, it's just black and white. And so I was just like really like inspired by that because I'm like, I want to have good black and white uses and stuff like that. That's mostly my art influences, is mostly like different manga that I grew up with. Like, I mean, I did take in like Tsubasa Chronicles and some of those things throughout the years and stuff, but those influences kind of came and went because, like, it wasn't really a style that I could feel confident, like, gleaning from for too much. Clamp's kind of like a hard, out of reach sort of thing. They're just like their own thing.
Yeah, sure. And Clamp's also like a whole like group. It's a collaborative effort, not just one artist, so that does up the ante a little bit, I
Right.
think.
Can't be five or six people. I don't know how many are in there.
Yeah, I think currently it's mostly three main women that work on their stuff,
Okay.
but like it used to be a lot more. Yeah. So I think it
Wow.
started off with like 11.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
They could have been an idol group.
I know. Yeah. Hearing these definitely make a lot of sense. I think, I mean, the only one I'm really very familiar with is DN Angel, but I think that like tracks, especially considering that Jason is a moonlight apparition, and the only other apparition we are familiar with is Lark, who is sunlight apparition. And so it does remind me a lot of the, I guess, the dynamic and parallel between Daisuke and Satoshi in DN Angel. Yeah. Yeah, an idea of like being, I guess, technically the dark side character being Moonlight. I don't know. Yeah, I'm very like curious about a lot of the, I guess, because like this is definitely a magical boy series. Like Jason is using magic and figuring his stuff out, like very much like you might see in a traditional magical girl series, but it's also got a lot of like lore and intrigue and other kinds of magic using type characters. But I'm sure we'll see more about like how that works. There's clearly like a system in place that we're still learning about. And you know, Jason is in a very interesting predicament where, because he is literally cursed to have an amnesia, he can't find out too much without it physically damaging him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. Poor kid.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious about why you decided to go with that route. I mean, obviously that's part of the mystery and you don't have to like go into stuff that's spoilery, but yeah.
I think mostly because, like, the amnesia trope is just something that I kind of always liked. But I also think that when I was kind of developing it, I wanted to have some sort of, like, a mystery aspect because I'm not exactly too sure. Maybe it's just because I really like the idea of the amnesia aspect of it, but it just also kind of just shakes and shapes him differently and changes things. And as he remembers things, it just kind of helps the reader kind of immerse themselves in things as well. Maybe kind of gives them like a window through Jason's experiences and him remembering, recalling things, and gives them like the little tidbits to figure out the plot or figure out what's going on as well. Like, as he's remembering it, the audience gets to remember it as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because we also on occasion get to see other characters interacting who clearly know more about what's going on than Jason does, even his friends at school, and that also makes things very complicated. But yeah, and I also am very suspicious of Robbie, but I think that that's intentional. especially by chapter 9, or yeah, chapter 8 and 9. Like, I don't know what's going on there, but.
Yeah. My little troubled child. He's a trash fire, but we all love him dearly.
But yeah, there's definitely like a lot of, interconnectedness. I mean, it's kind of clearly like a small town we're dealing with, but most of the kind of magical characters that we have seen so far are outsiders. So I think that's interesting. Yeah. Is this a story that you think is going to eventually end up expanding or leaving this town?
Probably, yeah, definitely. Because we have this current arc, and then the next arc actually, it's not too big of a spoiler or anything, but it does take place in one of the realms. So I'll leave y'all with that. So it does take place in a different sort of space and area. And that's something that, like, I hope that I can incorporate more is just adventures that happen in the different realms, just to kind of give everyone, like, a little glimpse of, like, oh, there's this area, this realm, the Behemoth realm, this place, you know. There are different races and stuff of the Esma Fates and stuff, but they're just in their own, like, worlds, and then they just kind of come into the regular world and interact as need be.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So we have, there's a lot of lore to explore there. So that's exciting. That's something to look forward to. How long do you think that this whole series is going to be?
So, probably pretty long. Because, like, I plan things out pretty far, but then I go through a real big chopping process going, I gotta cut this, this, and this. So it gets shorter. But I do know that at least three arcs. We're getting pretty close to starting to ramp up this arc. And then we'll enter into the second arc, which is probably the shortest of them all. And then we'll hit our third arc. Anything that comes after that would probably be set more in the future, or it might be a prequel. If I want to expand on the world, but for the most part, I think I have three main arcs for this line of like the character telling for this set of story and character growth.
That makes sense. And do you think that you'll, after that, move on to doing new stories, or do you have anything else in mind?
I have a couple ones. So I do have like another story that I kind of like occasionally visit from time to time. I just tentatively call it the Kaos Project because the main character kind of his name is Kaos, which is like it's like a word for chaos and I can't remember which language, but you know, his name did start out as Chaos, then I just changed it to Kaos because it looked cooler. Very smart here. That one is 100% based in a fantasy world, so it's gonna take more world building. I do have a lot of characters and I do work on it on occasion in the background because working on one project, just I like to bounce around a little bit, you know, have something to do. Another idea that I've had, if I ever learn to draw giant mecha robots, would be more of a mecha anime type thing. Definitely would be a mecha series. I would have to learn how to draw robots though. So that one's kind of like a very distant, I want to draw this thing. But I do not have the skills yet to draw this thing or the time to devote to drawing
That
it.
makes sense.
But I want to. I already have like loose ideas for it, so.
Yeah, robots are definitely a challenge. Really, any kind of technology, even just designing it and then like having to draw them all the time, that does take quite a lot of skill. So that makes a lot of sense. They would have to develop that first. But
Yeah.
that's a nice goal to have in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, who would you say is the target audience for Moonlight Apparition?
Probably older teenagers to adults. I would not recommend it for children at all. Like, if I had to do age groups, probably like 14 and up at the lowest. But for the most part, I feel like the target is mostly just anyone that has like any sort of resonation, it would resonate with any character. That's kind of like the goal, is just like I want to be able to have like my characters be someone that or be something that someone would go, "Oh, I know that struggle. I've had that struggle," and be able to identify or feel empathetic or, you know, like care about this character is kind of more of like the target. So, I guess like teenagers, early 20s, 30s, 40s, I think I did do a poll one time for like age groups, and I do have like a very, it's very interesting how the age group is very wide. Like I did get some like people in their 60s, and I was like, that's interesting. But for the most part, it's like between 15-year-olds and like 40-year-olds is like where my target audience sort of fell. That was pretty interesting to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's very interesting whenever you get your readership. It doesn't necessarily always align with what you expect. But yeah, that makes sense to me. Like, there is a bit of blood and gore in it, and the scenes dealing with the memory curse are sometimes a little traumatic, I would say. So it can get very dark and intense, which I enjoyed, but that's definitely not necessarily going to be for everyone. Yeah, definitely interesting. I'm curious about these the older readers, how they came across this little comic. That's yeah. I don't really have any other questions, I guess. I mean, it's a very interesting story so far. Are we going to see any other apparitions in the future, or do we only have the two?
No, we'll get to see more. One of them will manifest in the second arc, like at the very beginning of the second arc. And then there are other ones that are already like manifested, and so we'll get a chance to meet them in the third arc. Yeah, so that'll be fun. And the other ones, the one that we'll see in the second arc is, let's say they're close to the area, so have fun with that. Little
Okay.
tidbit. Everyone's going to be like, mystery time. But the other ones are actually more spread out in the world, so we'll actually get to go like travel a little bit to see them.
That makes
So that'll be
sense.
fun.
Yeah, I was just, I was curious just in terms of like the world building. I mean, there's a quite clear duality between Jason and Lark, but also just because this is a series primarily boys, so I was wondering if like any of the apparitions or other characters would be other genders. I mean, it was the Hunters, we do see a bit of mixed gender stuff going on, but I wasn't sure if that was like intentional or whatever. But yeah, I guess those are all my questions for today. So we had our final big question, which is do you have a magical persona of your
No, unfortunately, I don't.
own? Okay, that's fine.
So kind of boring, I know. I'm so shameful.
No, not at all.
When I was like a kid, I always used to be the whatever magical superhero. I would always be the one with weather powers because I liked weather powers. Might be why my character can use wind because I love wind. So that's like the closest I would ever have, but that was just with like playing make-believe with my friends. So didn't ever design a character of myself as a magical girl, so unfortunate.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting, though. Is there a particular reason why you were drawn to weather powers?
Probably because when I was younger, my mom, anytime like the weather man would like say it's supposed to rain, I didn't like that because I wanted to go outside and play in the sun. And rain meant I couldn't go outside. And so I would go on our front porch and I would allegedly blow the clouds away and then it wouldn't rain the next day. So my mom always told me that I had the power to blow the clouds away. And I just kind of
Okay,
was like, yes, I must have weather powers. It's just my secret hidden superpower.
that's adorable.
Thank
Great. Well, thank you again for coming on Sparkleside Chats to talk about Moonlight Apparition.
Oh, of course.
Where can people find you and your comic, and how can they support you?
So I do have a website. It's for the comic. It's moonlightapparition.com. Pretty easy. I'm also on Twitter. It's my name, Janica Davis. I do have a Patreon. I'm pretty sure that Patreon and then all my other handles for all the other social media sites is DarkHalo4321, which is my username on most things, but Twitter, I went with my real name, so I'm not sure why I did that, but it's too late to change it now.
Great.
But I do have a Patreon, DarkHalo4321, so.
And we'll put all those links in the show notes so anyone who listens can check it out. And yeah, thank you again for chatting with me today. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you for having me, and I hope you also have a wonderful day.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Sparkleside Chats with Magical Girl Ayu. Please subscribe, rate, and review if you like it, and don't forget to tell your friends about the show if you think they'd be interested. If you use social media, don't forget to use the hashtag SparkleSideChats when talking about and sharing the podcast. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at MagicalGirlAyu, spelled A-Y-U, and you can find me at AyuSheKnows, AyuSheKnows. You can also email us at sparklesidechats@gmail.com. Let us know if there's a topic you want covered or a fan or creator you want to hear from by filling out the form in the show notes. Show notes can be found on your platform of choice or at anchor.fm/sparkleside. You can also join the Discord for this podcast to talk about magical girls 24/7. Often chatting directly with me and both previous and upcoming guests of the podcast. You can find a public link to the Discord after each episode is released, or if it's not working anymore, feel free to DM. If you can support the podcast financially, you can buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/AyuSheKnows. With Ko-fi membership, you can get bonus content, announcements about episode topics, and your name read aloud on the podcast. Another way to support us one time is by buying something off of the Amazon Japan wishlist. This helps with getting more access to Magical Girl content that we can discuss in future episodes. Feel free to purchase from the used section as we are not picky here. Original podcast music is by Hazel. You can find her on Twitter at A Few Bruises. Thanks again for listening, and remember, you are magical.